Welcome one and all once again to Dual World in episode 152. We took off last week because I figured with three hour-long episodes in the week prior, you had money enough to listen to and catch up. And if you haven't do that, there's a ton of great game impressions, games coming out this fall, games coming out early next year, and all that other jazz. But joining me for our return, or I should say the new Dual World, then we have Martin.
Hi!
So, yes, it has been a rather eventful week, and I will also say, even though I don't expect a ton, we are recording this on Saturday afternoon, so news can break sometime this weekend because PAX Prime is going on, but I think most of the major news already came out.
Yeah, that's what I would assume as well. And even those major news are not that major, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many game conventions now, because, I mean, TGS is in a couple of weeks as well.
I'm already ready for disappointment because you know how TGS has been the last couple of years.
Well, I mean, it's basically a Sony show. Nintendo doesn't have a press conference, and Microsoft has no real presence in Japan. So
yeah, but even from Sony's side, I mean, the last couple of years have been really, really dire when it comes to Japan.
Yeah, I think that's. It's them, and it's pretty much all of Japan. Like, a lot of their focus has become on mobile gaming, which, you know, makes money for them, so I'm not going to fault them for it. But it really does make for a depressing show, because nobody's really focusing on that market anymore, because there's no market to focus on.
And most of us just don't care.
Well, I think people care. I think people care if they were doing the stuff people want.
Yeah, that's what I mean. What they're doing is nothing we care for.
Yeah, but I mean,
especially not us talking here on the podcast.
Yeah, we just had Gamescom, Eurogamer soon. You know, E3 was just two months ago, which seems forever ago. I'm more curious about the end of the year because we don't really know what's going on with the VGAs, the VGX. I mean, granted, nobody ever cared for those, but that was where you kind of did the winter reveals. And so I'm curious if we hold everything off until
usually the stuff that's far more out.
Yeah.
Because we still don't know a lot about late 2015.
Yeah. At this rate, we probably know a lot about fall 2015 if the tendency continues of delaying everything back a bit. I mean, this isn't in news, but it's just Assassin's Creed Unity got pushed back 2 weeks, which has to suck for Ubisoft because now both Assassin's Creed games are coming out on the same day.
That's true.
And I think you could have sold people on if you had one and then like 2 or 3 weeks later you had the other one come out. People might have been like, oh, okay, you know what, I'll pick this up now, whatever, I finished the last one. But now it's the same day, and I just feel like it's going to make one or the other. And I feel like you're not going to go, I mean, it could help that Black Friday's a couple of weeks later, so you can go back and get them for cheap. But yeah, I do think it's going to hurt one of them, and let's be honest, it's not going to be Unity.
You mean the one that's going to be skipped?
Yeah, the one that's going to be, the one that people are just going to avoid or not buy.
Yeah.
There's no reason to buy
Rogue,
if you have Unity. It doesn't have any type of multiplayer, and it's a samey setting as the last couple of them. So, yeah, it makes
actually
more
like the last one with the boat stuff.
Yeah, so there's that. But before we get to news, Martin has been playing new games because he found some new games hidden under the couch. I assume it was in Madden, so.
Actually, you're guessing wrong.
Oh.
I picked up Madden just because I was interested to. For some reason, early on in Generation, I like to check out sports games.
I was about to say, though, that's usually the worst time to check them out, because the first year or two, it's pretty much just the previous gen ported up with a ton of missing features.
Well, this one, it seems like the second year is one where they actually put a lot of effort into the game. I mean, it looks great. From what I can tell, it plays great. I'm not a Madden pro by any means. I mean, the last Madden I played seriously was probably Madden 05, I think. So,
which would have been another launch title.
No. Actually, that was on the GameCube.
Oh.
Yeah, I played for the GameCube.
That is special for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, weird, right?
Yeah, okay.
No, actually, I think I still remember because I had the PS2 and the GameCube, and the GameCube version was the one that was better on a technical level.
Yeah, I can see it being better on a technical level, but if I'm remembering that generation correctly, that was also the one where the GameCube version had a lot of missing features.
No, it was exactly the same as far as
I know.
Maybe the online was missing, but that's only a thing for the US anyway, because for us in Europe, they didn't include the online in the PS2 versions of the Madden games anyway.
Oh, I was thinking more, because I know early on in the generation, it was stuff like the memory card sizes were too small, and then the disc sizes were too small.
Oh yeah, it was. I don't think it was an issue back then. Anyway, I'm actually having a lot of fun with this game. I mostly play the Madden Ultimate Team thing, where I collect players and play the market and try to create a nice team. I'm not actually putting any money into it. I'm doing, like, playing multiplayer games and doing these solo challenges, which give you try to make good buys and stuff, and I'm actually having a lot of fun with it. Not sure how much else I should say about Madden. I mean, it's still a football game, and people probably know the features, right?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I've heard about it, and I'm not a natural judge of this, because all you hear it through Gaff usually, is that a lot of people, I think, were complaining about the fact that a lot of the AI seems to be carried over from the previous game.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't tell you, because the last man I played was 10 years ago.
Yeah, so, moving on, because...
I think the most interesting parts for me were, like, that there is no traditional season mode, apparently. They only have their weird connected franchise thing, which means you can only play a franchise as one player, a coach, or an owner. There's no, like, possibility, like, years ago to just pick a team and play a season without any of the management stuff. Which is, for me, kind of weird. That's not a thing that exists. And the other thing that I thought was interesting is that they apparently tried to make the defense more interesting. So they included some kind of mini games. This is probably overselling it. But let's say you are on the defensive line and the ball gets hiked. I don't know what the terminology is.
I'm not going to be any help in a football discussion.
Anyway, then basically when you're on the defense, then you have to time your run. So if you press the run button at the right time, you get an extra boost so that you can maybe knock the guy on the offensive line over. And they have other things like when you're pushing against each other that you have to put in like the right button presses that show up and that might help you in getting over that other guy and stuff like that. So that is kind of interesting, because previously defense, even when I played, was not particularly interesting. It's just running guys into each other and then hoping that the stats work out. So I guess that's an improvement. I would at least call it an improvement.
Yeah, as I said, that's pretty much how I play football games, which is why I prefer the more arcade ones. Nobody makes those anymore.
The other thing I played is Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare.
Which looks really good.
I only picked it up, like, I was, like, desperate to play something, and I thought, like, this looks kind of fun. And the PS4 version apparently started out with a lot of more content, because all the DLC was included right from the start. And I have to say, I was surprised by how much I enjoyed that game. I played it quite a bit, and, like, I played for, like, 20 hours in 1 week or something. It's really good. The controls are really tight. It's really funny. I mean, the characters are charming with having these wacky plants and all their crazy abilities, and same goes for the zombies. And modes that are actually interesting. I mean, they have team deathmatch, but they also have like a bomb run thing. Then they have something they call gardens versus cemeteries or something like that. And that kind of plays like
it's like Invasion from Halo, or is that another one?
I couldn't quite tell you.
And
I don't remember how Invasion is played in Halo.
Invasion is basically, it's kind of captured a point, but yeah, it's like offense, defense, and once you capture it, then the game moves back.
Exactly. Yeah, then it's exactly like that, yeah. And you have to fill up the bar and stay within that region to actually capture the point. And that's really fun, and you have to use your environment. They have some really cool maps, I think, that they can, because it's such a wacky theme, it seems like they went all out with some more crazy designs. And you actually really have to think about how to use your abilities and stuff like that. And having abilities is a thing that usually shooters these days don't have, except if it's a kill streak, and that barely counts as an ability, I would say. For example, if I play like the All-Star, which is the big heavy guy from the zombie side, and he is like a heavy machine gun, and basically a heavy machine gun that actually shoots footballs, and you can like have like a ramming attack, and you can also put in like defensive stand-up things that you can hide behind, and stuff like that. And every character has like three different abilities. So that makes this game actually really fun and interesting. And I also think they have the right price point. I mean, that game basically has, at this point, as much content as, let's say, Titanfall, and this game is not full price.
Yeah, I was also going to say, it sounds like it does a good job of translating the Plants vs. Zombie model into a shooter, and it really does seem like a really refreshing shooter, and it's actually one of the few that are kind of family-friendly.
Yeah, totally. It even has like split-screen where you can fight against waves. That's totally something you could even play with your kid or something like that, because it's so cute and funny. And it's still really fun.
And that,
so
I
totally recommend
that. Or the week before for the PS4.
That came out last week.
Okay. And it's already out on the Xbox One, and I believe it's also out on the Xbox 360.
I think it's also on PS3.
Oh, okay.
Definitely on PC.
Wonder if we'll ever get a mobile version of it.
Yeah. Interesting thing though is that they have free DLC, because they have this weird pack unlock system where you just earn coins during gameplay, and then you buy like sticker packs, and that unlocks different like some abilities, but mostly just cosmetic stuff. So if you want to have like a pea shooter with a mustache, that's totally a thing you can do. So yeah, it's fun. It's and surprisingly, I never had problem finding games and stuff like that. Seems like a lot of people have picked that up. So yeah, I would recommend playing that.
Yeah, fun little game. I'm probably gonna pick it up. Well, it depends, I guess. I wonder how big the market is on the 360. And not to harp on this because I know their relationship is strained. I also feel like this would have been one of those perfect shooters for like Nintendo's audience, if EA and Nintendo were on anything close to the same page.
Maybe. It's like funny in the way Splatoon is, right? Maybe even funnier than Splatoon, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because also some really crazy music as well.
Yeah, and like I said, it's also it's family friendly, which you don't get. It's not like people explode into blood and guts or anything like that. So. Yeah.
I really thought, like I said, it was quite the refreshing shooter experience for me. And it shows that not every shooter has to be brown and gray and you have to shoot terrorists to have fun.
And especially from EA, who have done a decent job of diversifying this year with that and Titanfall.
Yeah, that's true. It's really shocking that this is an EA game.
Well, I'm more shocked that it's a Plants vs. Zombie game from EA that doesn't beat you over the head with in-app purchases.
I mean, you can buy coins for real money if you want to.
But it seems like you earn it just as easily in the
game. Yeah, like one of these capture point things gets you easily like 10 to 15,000 coins. And at 20,000, you can basically buy the best pack.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty quickly.
Okay. And what is your third game?
The third game is I got a code from a nice folks over at Roll7 to play some Olly Olly on PS4. You know, a console people actually play games on, unlike the Vita.
Poor Vita.
If you don't know what Olly Olly is, it's basically 2D Tony Hawk. to make it simple, it's a 2D side-scrolling skating game. It's completely level-based, and every level has, like, in the good old Tony Hawk days, different challenges, like do a combo with this much points, or do this trick, or collect these spray cans, or just beat the high score, right? Very simple stuff. But unlike Tony Hawk, of course, it's not time-based. You just have to get through the level, because if you fall down, you have to start over. And the controls are very simplified. You basically only have two buttons and you use the stick. With the stick, you can basically preload your jump. So if I press down, I would preload an ollie. Or if I like press to the left, I would also preload a jump. But then it would be like a hillside jump or something like that. I don't know all the skating terminology. I'm sorry. That's how you do tricks. Basically, which direction you push the stick into or make like a quarter circle motion. And then you can modify that by either pressing L1 or R1 to spin. And, so it's actually three buttons. And the third button is the X button. You use that to actually land. So you actually want to land perfectly to get extra points. And also, if you don't land, you fall down and you would fail. And, yeah, after a while, I mean, the first levels are kind of easy. But then it gets tricky and very quickly it becomes like in Tony Hawk, I don't know how much Tony Hawk you play, but when you play it a lot, you found, like, your lines, and then it's what basically was like, oh, yeah, I do this one jump, and then from there I go into manual, and then I grind quite a lot around the level, even until the time is over and stuff like that. And Olly Olly kind of turns into that you jump and then get into a grind and mostly try to combine different grinds until the end of the level to maximize your combo. And, yeah, it's quite fun. It's simple to pick up, but it gets quite difficult to actually do all the challenges. Getting just through the levels is not that hard, but doing all the challenges to unlock the pro levels and stuff can get quite hard. But it's really good. Super fun game.
How much is this?
I don't know, $10? I didn't buy it, so I can't tell you. You should look it up, maybe. I think it's $10.
Yes. So while we're looking for that, I guess the one game I've been playing is I finally picked up Lego Marvel. It's a Lego game. I don't know if you could say anything else besides that. I'm a fan of Lego games. I'm sure not everybody is. I will say this much, maybe because I fed a couple of them in recent months back to back. It's so weird how dumb they treat you. Like, it's not like necessarily mandatory tutorials, but like the fact the game reminds you of everything all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, oh, this is a good place to use Wolverine's claws. Oh, maybe if you had a web singer. Oh, you need somebody with the Hulk strength. It's like, yes, I got it. I get it. I get it. That said, it's fun. I think, you know, it's they've never been the most complex games in the world. I think that the thing that always kind of carries them, and I guess this is true for all of them, is the license. And I think the Marvel one has a lot of interesting characters and scenarios, even though right now they've pretty much just been giving me Captain America, Iron Man, and Spider-Man a rotation, and the Hulk. There's been other Marvel characters kind of sprinkled throughout, but those have been like the four that you've got at least once in every mission. And as always, I think the best part of these games are their sense of humor, yeah, which I guess has really been helped in the added voice acting. Not too keen on how they did open world in this, but I guess they had to do it. Like, it's not open world for like the first four missions or so.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, here's an open world, and it's like, it's just easier, like, the first time you do it, it's like Iron Man, so it's just much easier to just fly around everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then the second time you do it, they strip him of that power, so you're kind of screwed. But it's a fun game, nice characters, it's great fan service. I mean, there's a ton of heroes, a ton of villains, random cameos by Stan Lee everywhere.
Yeah, of course.
It's randomly in continuity with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which I find really strange. But whatever.
Yeah, they pick and choose the stuff weirdly.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh yeah, I don't want, oh, we're back in New York again. And I'm like, oh, okay, so this is in continuity with the movies, even though like Fantastic Four and the X-Men and Spider-Man are a part of it. But you know what? Have fun with it as long as you're doing what you do. But yeah, really fun. I think I picked it up for like $10 on Xbox. So, I mean, that's a great price for it. I'm sure you could pay $30 for it now as well. So, it's worth checking out. And speaking of prices, we found I is currently $13 on the PS3 and the PS4.
So, a fine price for a game.
Which is totally a fine price. And you know what else is $12.99?
No.
Amiibos.
Oh. At least it's not the WWE Network, because that's apparently $9.99.
That's only $9.99, which is a hell of a steal. But I wanted to transition into the news, and I figured that was a great connection, because Amiibos, the Nintendo had a weird week this week. Well, even weirder for Nintendo. It started off, well, actually, let's start from where we were, and that was they had a Nintendo Direct yesterday, Friday morning, Friday afternoon for you, I guess. And this is where they announced that they, okay, this is going to be confusing. They announced the new 3DS and the new 3DS XL. And not necessarily, I mean, it is a new 3DS and a new 3DS XL, but it's actually named the new 3DS and the new 3DS XL.
Which is super dumb, by the way.
I hope they don't bring that over here. But
I think it was already called that in an American PR statement.
I'm hoping that they're just like, this is the Japanese name for it, and we don't necessarily have a name for it yet, so we're just calling that. But that has been Nintendo's go-to word, New Super Mario Brothers, four of them, Yoshi's New Island.
Yeah.
I'm sure they had some, I think they joked that they wanted to call A Link Between Worlds the New Legend of Zelda. But yes, I mean, I don't necessarily buy into the brand confusion. I just think it's a really stupid name, yeah, especially being that it will, I mean, technically it gets old after like a month. It's like DC and the new 52. Like, it's 4 years old. You're no longer new, dude. But yes, this is, okay, I don't want to say this is the first major Nintendo handheld that has kind of been revised to be different. There's been precedent with the Game Boy Color and the DSi,
yep.
But it's actually surprising to me. It added stuff I didn't expect them to do, because they've gone 3.5 years without doing it, even though some of it's half measured. And
the thing for me is, when I saw the features, two of the features, this thing was created for Smash Bros. Just are that they now apparently have the new 3D screen, which makes it possible to, even when you move your 3DS around, to still see the 3D. That was the first thing pops your mind. Oh, that's for Smash, so you can still play Smash in 60fps in 3D, because when you are like doing all your motions and stuff, you probably will swing your 3DS around a bit, so you don't lose the 3D. And the other thing is that they have the second analog knob, and that's probably for Monster Hunter, so you can easier play Monster Hunter.
Oh yeah, that's definitely thing. For Monster Hunter. It's the same way that the Circle Pad Pro was so you created for Monster
yep.
Hunter.
Yeah.
So yeah. In addition to those changes, it also adds two more trigger buttons, which
yeah.
I don't know how that's going to work.
Also, they looked uncomfortable, and when I just looked at it. But
yeah, not only uncomfortable, but I don't even know how you reach, because it's not like other consoles where it's like one in front of the other. They're next to each other.
Yeah.
So it's like four buttons. Yeah, it's weird. So yeah, it's basically built in the Circle Pad Pro into the controller.
Yeah.
They've added NFC support default now as well.
Yeah. So you don't have to use an NFC base with your amiibos. You can just put them on your 3DS.
Yes. I'm kind of curious if they have any intentions of kind of using this as a extra controller for the Wii U. Because I think with all of these additions, it becomes equal to the Wii U controller.
Yeah, it does.
Not as comfortable, but it becomes an equal to that system. The buttons are multicolored now. They're kind of colored like the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
It uses micro SD instead of SD cards now.
Mm-hmm.
Which might be a pain in the ass for people looking to upgrade, because then you'd have to buy a micro and then transfer everything over.
Yeah, but SD cards are so fucking cheap right now.
Yeah, it's still better than the alternative console, which still uses proprietary yeah. memory cards.
Exactly.
And you probably have spare ones from your phones. I know I do.
Or your camera.
I don't even know many people use digital cameras anymore.
I do, because, you know,
not
point and shoots, but like digital SLRs.
Yeah, and that's a very specialized market.
Yeah.
Most people are just content with aiming their phone somewhere and being done with it. I use a digital camera, not necessarily anything fancy. Anyhow, moving on. But yes, you probably have one or two of those laying around somewhere, because
yeah.
your phone uses it, or your camera uses it.
Or and if not, it's really cheap.
Yeah, you could probably find like a 32 gig for like $15.
Yeah.
And you don't need to buy anything fancy to transfer it. You just need your computer.
Yeah.
Most of them have readers for both.
Most people, like I said, already have a reader around as well.
Yeah.
Even if your computer doesn't have one built in, you probably have a reader because you used it with a camera or something like that.
Or your phone, which you can also
yeah.
just kind of do through USB. If you
yeah.
want it to be really technicky. I guess the biggest change, though, is that it's actually upgraded the innards, which it has a faster CPU, and I think some rumors of
it has double RAM and double VRAM, apparently.
Yes.
Would make quite a difference.
Which makes
and
quite
that's
a difference.
Also probably why they decided to port Xenoblade to that thing.
Yes, an exclusive... Well, somewhat exclusive game, if it's a port of a Wii game. Exclusive game for the new 3DS.
Yeah, because it needs the extra horsepower.
It needs the extra horsepower. And after seeing the game in motion, I think it needs more horsepower than it's getting.
Yeah, it doesn't look as good as on the Wii, of course not. But it looks serviceable.
It's not even so much that it looks. I understand, like, it looks slow. Like, it looks really janky.
Well, that might be because it's so early. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see. But, I mean, I'm sure I've said it before, Xenoblade Chronicles, one of my absolute favorite games of the last generation, one of my absolute favorite games of all time. If you're in America, it's one of the hardest Wii games to track down, because they only released it in one store, and that was a very limited run. So this is probably a big opportunity for a lot of people to get into the ground floor with that.
Exactly. That's also what I wanted to say. Like, it's probably way easier and cheaper to get than the Wii version.
Yeah, trying to track down the Wii version. Granted, as many people point out, it's also kind of strange to do it on the 3DS when you have these sequels, you know, Vay Chronicle X coming out on Wii U next year.
Yeah, before the Direct started, I knew that it was the 3DS one, but I thought, like, man, if I think about HD ports, Xenoblade would actually be a good one.
Yeah,
but what will we do? Put it on the 3DS.
I think Xenoblade and I think The Last Story would have been two prime examples of games that probably would have benefited from an HD port on the Wii U.
They would have amazingly held up because those games have really good art. It's just that the low resolution kind of held those back.
Yeah, and it also helps that they came at such at the tail end of the game Wii era that a lot of people probably didn't get a chance to play them anyhow.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, this opens it up to a lot. I mean, as much as it would have been beneficial to get the Wii U, this opens it up to a potentially bigger audience. I mean, granted, it's a fragmented audience because you can't play it on the traditional 3DS, 2DS, yeah. or 3DS XL. But it also kind of ties into their other announcement, which was that Shulk will be in Super Smash Bros. For the 3DS and for the Wii U.
Which now makes way more sense, right?
Yeah. honestly speaking, this is what I thought they should have done with Smash Brothers from the get-go, and they kind of have, but not as frequently. And I guess part of it is because a lot of the characters are popular, but use Smash Brothers as a launching, because a lot of people will be like, who's Shulk? And you'll figure out who's Shulk in Smash Brothers, and then it's like, oh, if you want to play Shulk's game, it's coming out on the 3DS next year. So here you go.
Yeah, I would actually argue that Fire Emblem only became a thing outside of Japan because of Fire Emblem characters in Smash.
Yeah, Martin Roy, and I would honestly say the same thing for Pit's Infusion in Brawl.
Probably even less.
Yeah. A lot of those characters, Mario, Link, Samus, Donkey Kong, those are perfectly. Actually, I would even say Samus because when the original Smash Bros. Came out, it had been what? 5-6 years since the last Smash, since the last Metroid game?
That might be the case, yeah.
So, yeah, and you had Metroid Prime, and then people kind of got that. There's a lot of these characters who are just kind of used this as their jumping on pad, which is why a lot of people kind of. It also helps, I think, in a way, it legitimizes these people in some people's eyes for Nintendo, because a lot of people didn't see Xenoblade as a Nintendo franchise.
Yeah.
But now with Shulk here, it's like, okay, this is a legitimate part of the Nintendo family. And I thought that was the case when they've been pushing Xenoblade Chronicle X for the past year, 2 years almost now. But this kind of legitimizes it now. And it was a fun trailer, which I think a lot of them have been.
Mm.
On the other end of the spectrum, though, this has all kind of been ruined because earlier in the week, we had a massive Smash Brothers leak.
Oh, yeah.
A massive Smash Brothers leak, which isn't typical from Nintendo. But Shulk was one of the confirmed characters from that leak. And I think based on this and some other stuff that came out this week, we have to take the leaks as 100% true. So we'll be seeing, who else is it? Is it Bowser Jr.? It's,
Bowser Jr., the duck from, the dog from Duck Hunt.
That's the one that's going to, that's the one that's going to have to be seen in motion to
That's my favorite, by the way, at this point in this entire game. The dog from Duck Hunt. Amazing.
Yeah, it's wow. It's just wow.
I don't mean it ironic. I think that it's awesome.
Oh, no, I mean, it's one of those things that you think about because it seems so out there, but when you think about it, I mean, like, what hasn't Smash Brothers been able to turn into a compelling fighting character?
Yeah. We had Mr. Game & Watch, so...
Yeah, Game & Watch...
I think everything works.
They're turning Pac-Man into a fighting character.
Yeah.
He just goes across the screen chomping stuff.
Although it's not the first time Pac-Man has been a fighting game character.
No. But, yeah, Dr. Mario, Dark Pit, which are clones. I think the big ones were Shulk, Duck Hunt, Dog, and Bowser Jr., which were the kind of new characters.
And all kind of cool additions, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, there were also leaked videos, and I like how Bowser Jr. looks. And I also like what they're doing with him, if the rumors are true, which we have to assume, where it's not necessarily Bowser Jr., but it's the Bowser family. So, like, his alternate costumes will be each of the seven Koopa kids.
Yeah.
Which, again,
Koopalings.
I'm sorry. They're no longer his kids.
Exactly.
His dad. Which, again, probably should have been what they did in Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Speaking of Mario Kart, that also had a leak, but that wasn't as bad because they announced it pretty much the next day. I guess Mario Kart has taken on a new mantra. It's now Nintendo Kart. It was revealed this week that there will be two DLC packs coming. First one will be coming in November, and this will feature Link from The Legend of Zelda and two random additional Marios and Peach for the game. Well, an additional Mario and an additional Peach for the game. It will also include two cups, which means eight new tracks, and then three new vehicles, or four new vehicles. And then in May of 2015, they will have an additional DLC pack, which will include Isabelle from Animal Crossing, Villager from Animal Crossing, and Dry Bowser. And this would also include two additional cups and four vehicles. We know from the leaks, and I guess what they revealed, some of those tracks will be based off of other Nintendo properties. We've seen Excitebike, we've seen F-Zero, and we've seen The Legend of Zelda. And there's also a track based on Animal Crossing in the second pack. As cool as that is, I think the best part of it is the pricing. It is $8 for either one of them, and if you're dumb, you will do that. If you're smart, you'll buy both for $12.
Yep.
Not only do you get, what is it, 16 new tracks, 6 new races, 8 new carts, but as a bonus, I guess, you also
get... That's pretty substantial for $12.
Yeah, that is a... That is pretty much half the game. As far as track, because there's 32 tracks in the game core package right now. You're getting half of that with 16.
Yeah.
There's something like 30 races, so you're getting 50.
People have been joking about Nintendo and Season Pass, but I think so far Nintendo is kind of delivering in value with that. They kind of did the same thing with Mario Golf on the 3DS, and that also was like basically double the content of the game.
Yeah, and I think the best part about this, to be, I guess, somewhat of a hypocrite, because I've often said I'm not a huge fan of season passes, I think the biggest thing to me here and the biggest difference is that they revealed this 2 months after the game came out. So it doesn't seem like, oh, we've been hiding this, we've had this on the disc and we were waiting. It seems like, oh yeah, we finished the game and we thought this would be a great addition. Because it's not like they're coming out next week. They're coming out 3 months from now and then 8 months from now or something like that.
Yeah, it seems like they actually put work in. It's something they did afterwards.
Yeah, and I mean, as part of that rollout was also they unleashed the Mercedes-Benz DLC this week, which came with three new vehicles. And you have Mario Kart 8, right?
Not anymore.
Oh, okay. Okay. So the other thing they did, and I'm not sure if this is genius or just really mean, but when they had a patch this week which fixed a couple of problems with the game, and that also kind of set the game up for the DLC later on. But what they do now is that they have the six characters who are DLC at the bottom of the screen. And when you try to click on it, it gives you like this little, it gives you a little thing like, oh, this is the DLC, this is what it's included, and this will come out in November, this will come out in May, and you can pre-order now. And it's like, I don't know if that's genius in that it reminds people, like, people can't say, like, oh, I didn't know there was DLC for this game. It's like, these characters are right there, they're going to be right there for the next 4 months on your Mario Kart every time you turn it up. Or if it's evil because it's like, oh, these characters aren't going to be in the game for another 4 months, but you're going to have to see them anyhow.
Yeah.
And they did the same thing with the cups for this giant thing. But it's a great way to kind of get people who may not always look at the digital front or keep up with the stuff to be like, oh, okay, this is awesome. I know about this, and I can remember because it's always going to be there. So it helps to kind of sell the DLC, which is also helped by the fact that it's a really good price.
Yep. And like I said, like Nintendo Kart, because now Link is in it and stuff like that. I was always wondering, right, because why they only made Mario Kart, right? Why is it okay for all Nintendo characters to fight each other, but why can't they drive races against each other.
Well, I still think, I mean, it's still, I mean, it is still Mario Kart 8, they're not rebranding it or anything. And
yeah.
I still do think they're going to keep it as Mario Kart, even if they do this stuff more in the future. And I think because at this point, Mario Kart is their biggest brand.
I mean, for all I care, they can still call it Mario Kart,
but why
include
don't?
More characters. I don't yeah. give a shit what it's called.
It's interesting. It's really interesting. But I think this is a, well, of course I do, but I think it's a great strategy as far as a first time thing, because it's the type of DLC where, like, the timing isn't suspect at all. It's November. They're going to have new commercials on the air for the first time ever, pay as things in the Legend of Zelda games.
Nintendo pretty much said they would have, like, support for Mario Kart for, like, a year or something.
Yeah, they're doing it. I mean, because the second one I was going to point out is exactly a year after the game comes out. So it's like, oh, remember Mario Kart? Yes, it's back again, and now you can play with your favorite characters from Animal Crossing. And it's like, okay, this is them, like, okay, we're going to do this for Christmas, and we're going to do this heading into E3 next year. And it's like, I'm kind of curious to see if they continue this, because there is still Amiibo support that they haven't detailed.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of curious to see if, like, they probably get more characters in there, if possible.
Yeah. When it leaked, I actually thought, like, when the screenshots first leaked, I actually thought, like, hey, maybe the Link stuff is, like, a sign of what the Amiibo support will be.
Yeah,
like, if I put Link on, I get to drive as Link in the game. But
that's what I actually thought it was going to be. But I will say this much, I guess kind of going back to Amiibos, which we started on. They revealed the price of Amiibos, and they revealed that this year, I mean, each Wave 1 will be 12 characters. I think the price is fair. It's also, but I also think it's out of the range where it's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to buy these all.
Are the prices, like, in line with the normal Skylanders?
Yeah.
Stuff?
Yeah. Like I said, I think it's fair, but I think it's outside of that. And Menti, for me, I think it's weird. It's like $3 difference, but I think Menti, if it was like $9.99.
Yeah, I get what you mean. Yep.
Yeah, because, you know, everything's a benefit, a deal when it's only $9.99.
Yep. Like the WWE has been telling us.
But yeah, so yeah, they announced the first 12 characters. But they haven't, like, they keep on saying it's going to be in Captain Toad, it's going to be in Mario Kart 8, it's going to be in... I get Yoshi, that's out next year.
Mm.
Mario Kart's already out, and Captain Toad for us is out this year.
Yep, and we still don't know what's happening with that stuff.
Yeah, we don't really know anything about the Amiibo support. And honestly, I mean, they haven't given us a date for Smash Brothers. I'm not as concerned as a lot of people are, but I do think that they need to kind of go into that stuff sooner rather than later, especially if they have people pre-ordering this stuff without, like, I don't think the stuff in Smash Brothers is all that great.
Nah, it doesn't seem amazing. I will probably get a couple of those Amiibos and try it out, but it's not like I'm going to run out and buy all of them. I probably get, like, my favorite characters, get, like, Samus, get, like, Kirby, I think.
Yeah.
Mario, I guess.
Is
Luigi also a character?
He's not in the first wave.
Oh, okay. So
the first wave is Mario, Donkey Kong, Peach, Yoshi, Link, Samus, Voyager, Kirby, Fox, Pikachu, I think Wii Fit Trainer, and Marth.
I guess Pikachu, Kirby, Mario, and Samus would be my favorites from that.
Yeah, I'm actually going to use it for people like Shulk. And probably Pit, probably people who probably won't get many figures from Nintendo.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Mario, you could find Mario toys anywhere.
Yeah. I just think that Mario also looks cool with the fireball.
Yeah, I think it was a great franchise to start. I mean, it's a great franchise to start with because it's a big crossover. But it's also great because a lot of the characters tend to have some of their best designs in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of to, because there are other companies and other news, just kind of to go through this real quick, we got a release date for Bayonetta 2 here that was coming out October 24th.
Yeah.
They announced two new Wii U bundles, Super Mario 3D World bundle, which is going to be the standard price. It comes with Super Mario 3D World and Nintendo Land for $300. And then Walmart has a Mario Kart 8 Deluxe set, which is Mario Kart 8 and Nintendo Land for $300 with the system. they announced, what was it? I think Hyrule Warriors DLC will be here day one. Pokemon Art Academy and Art Academy come out October 24th. So October 24th is Pokemon Art Academy, Art Academy, Art Academy. And then Bayonetta 2. And then they announced Ultimate NES Remix for the 3DS, which they haven't really detailed, but it seems to be the best of NES Remix 1 and 2 mm-hmm. for $30 with some additional challenges. And then they announced NES Remix Pack, which is NES Remix 1 and 2 for the Wii U for $30. And those both come out December 5th. Kirby, they expanded onto the mini games from Kirby Triple Deluxe, DD's Drum Dash Deluxe, and Kirby's Fighter Deluxe, both on the 3DS eShop for $7 right now. And one of my personal favorite announcements, and it's a minor thing, but it's something I thought they would have done from the Wii, they announced starting in October, the 3DS will start having themed menus. Which I honestly thought was something they would have done with the Wii and the Wii U, but it's coming sometime to some system of theirs.
Yeah. Also, remember when we talked about NES Remakes being would be a great fit over 3DS?
Yeah.
Apparently, Nintendo thought so too.
Why? NES Remix is a weird franchise because it's by the time this comes out, they would be less than a year. They've had two versions, and now they have a compilation pack and a, I guess technically a remastered pack for the 3DS. So there's like four versions of the game before the end of the year.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was Nintendo. I think that covers everything.
You forgot something.
What did I forget?
Pokken.
Oh, yes, Pokken. Wow. It was a big week for them. Pokken, which is the really, really, really badly kept secret in the industry, is a Pokemon fighter from Bandai Namco, the team behind Tekken. And this will be a arcade, as of right now, arcade in Japan only release.
Yeah, but we already have registered trademarks for the US, and they announced, they had a trailer on the US Nintendo YouTube channel, I think, so this is coming out on the Wii U, sooner or later, everywhere.
I think everybody knows that. It's weird the reaction people have given to it. I understand why, but I find some of the reactions people have to the Nintendo announcements really strange.
Yeah, they have to understand, that's what Bandai Namco does with their fighting games. They bring it out to the arcade, and then 6 months to a year later, it comes out on home consoles.
Yeah.
They have done a couple revisions as well. So it's actually to your benefit that they do that, because you get a more balanced game.
But a lot of people are just like, oh, we don't want that, we just want it now, they can patch it later. I'm like, this is why we're in this phase now, where it's like, ship it and patch it whenever. But, yeah, I honestly don't think Nintendo needs, I mean, granted, they probably need everything, but I don't think they need it at the start of the year when they have Smash Brothers. And I think that, I mean, it's a different type of fighter, but I do think it kind of caters to the Nintendo fans who want to beat up Nintendo characters with Nintendo characters. So yeah, there's that. And it looks interesting, though.
I am immediately more interested in that as a Pokemon title than any other Pokemon title.
Yeah, I think since several other people have said that, and I do think it makes sense. I think, especially, I mean, it's not like Pokemon have fighting types; it's literally a type in the game. They have people who look like karate experts and stuff. But it also came out this week that they aren't beholden to fighting types, and they're not necessarily beholden to bipedal Pokemon. So there are 700 characters. You can find 30, I'm sure, for a fighting game. And actually, fans have made just of dozens and dozens of characters they want to see in this game. So, we'll see. I think they're also taking recommendations on their Twitter channel.
No idea. Maybe.
Maybe. Okay, is that everything for Nintendo this week?
Yeah, now we're done with Nintendo.
Okay. It's weird, but I really just wanted to get... They had a lot of stuff. The other stuff, PAX Prime is going on, like we said. Right now, minor announcements, but I guess the big one yesterday, well, at least it was teased, was that Saints Row 4 is coming to current-gen consoles as Saints Row Reelected.
Yep.
And this is $30, which I think is a reasonable price. And then the same day, they're also releasing a Saints Row 4 expansion pack standalone, Saints Row... Got Out of Hell.
Yeah.
which is $20. So for the full package, I believe it's $50 for PS4 and 360. PS4 and Xbox One.
The disc release is $40.
Okay.
So, but it's still, I'm not sure if people seem to be unclear if it includes the expansion or not. Because if it does, at $40 would be an amazing deal. If it doesn't,
$30 is standalone, and then the DLC was standalone.
I don't know. I just saw a pack shot of the PS4 Xbox One version, yeah. And okay. It had the Get Out of Hell thing on it as well.
Yeah, I could be. I could be. I think this is where the confusion was as well. I think it is. But I thought that the box was. There's a standalone version, and then there's a combination pack, and that's the one that's $50. The standalone.
Okay. Then it's not quite the amazing deal I thought it would be.
I mean, I still think $50 for a game and additional content, new content as well, isn't a bad deal. I am kind of getting to a point though where I'm just kind of like, where I'm kind of done with the current gen ports or remastered or definitive editions, whatever you want to call it.
It's about time to move on from that, I think.
I believe this is the third open world. Because Even Dog's getting one, GTA 5's getting one, and now Saints Row 4 is getting one.
Interesting enough, though, this is one I could see myself picking up because I did not play Saints Row 4 because it ran like shit on the old consoles.
There's always room for it, but I do think, we're getting to the point where it's just kind of silly at this point.
Just personally saying, because I don't have a gaming computer. If I had one, I would have probably just played the PC version.
Yeah.
Maybe I get it, but probably not at launch. Probably wait until that combination pack drops in price or something.
Which will happen, because that's what happened with Tomb Raider Definitive Edition.
Yeah. Pretty quick, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I was also going to, there's not very much of a market. It's like people who are interested day one, and then it's like, I've either had an option of getting it cheap, or I passed up on it. I was going to say the other one was, I think, we don't really do rumors on here, but I think the rumor right now is that GTA 5 has been pushed into 2015.
Yeah.
Speaking of pushing into 2015, the Deep Down beta, which moved to 2015, which means it's going to be awesome. Am I mistaken, or Capcom? Okay, I was gonna say they haven't released any new games for this generation, but Dead Rising 3 was.
Yeah.
And is that the OU one?
Unless you count,
I mean, I counted Dead Rising expansion.
No, I meant unless to count Strider.
Isn't that cross gen?
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Anyhow, Deep Down beta is next early 2015. So that
Deep Down game that seems to be in trouble. That's what I am getting at this point.
I think they had a very fancy graphical engine and no game.
Because the beta gets pushed all the way, the game is still not, I think, confirmed for outside of Japan. It has not shown up anywhere in a while, I think since last TGS, right?
Yeah. maybe we'll see that this TGS. Again, it's kind of like where we started at the beginning, where Japan's just really all over the place right now. Because I don't think we've seen Kingdom Hearts 3 or Final Fantasy 15 since TGS last year either.
You might be right.
So, yeah. Speaking of Japan, David Cox has left Konami after being there for 17 years.
Yeah. And he was, lastly, the producer on the Castlevania Lords of Shadow series.
Which I could be overstepping my bounds, but I'm taking that to mean that franchise probably is dead.
Probably. Castlevania in general seems to be like, I mean, David Cox left, who was basically responsible for Castlevania the last time. Igarashi left, who made some of the best Castlevania games ever. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't, but yeah, it doesn't seem well for that franchise. I guess real quick, because we talked about that. That kind of sucks. I'm kind of curious to see what he does in the future, though.
Hmm. Yeah. Let's see. if he goes indie or if he finds a job at another company.
Yeah. Super Meat Boy Forever, a Super Meat Boy Endless Runner, which I am kind of torn on because that wasn't the point of Super Meat Boy, but I can also see it being extremely evil.
Have they shown anything? I only saw the announcement.
I think they've shown a I think they've shown a vine of it.
Okay.
So it's just a really short loop gameplay, but it does look like it has some of those. I mean, I guess the problem with an endless runner, and maybe they're different, is that they tend to be more randomized.
Yeah.
So, like, you don't have, like, Super Meat Boy's thing was always, like, yes, it was tough as nails, but it was trial and error, and it always had a predictable pattern. It was just getting your timing down. And if this is randomized, it's just going to be more frustrating than fun, or it's just going to take away the thing that made Super Meat Boy enjoyable to a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm not super thrilled about the announcement, but on the other hand, the guys who made that game are also, they are working on this as well, right? It's
yeah.
Team Meat. So, I somehow doubt they would make a shitty game.
Yeah, I guess the other fear would be, like, if I'm not mistaken, this was only announced for PC and mobile right now.
Hmm. Well, it makes sense.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
it is.
So yeah. Real quick. No, I'm not even going to touch that because that's stupid. I was going to talk about the DDoS attacks this week, but yeah, let's not give them any attention.
Whatever. Some idiots made DDoS attacks.
And I guess the biggest...
Oh, the only thing I want to say about that, shame on anyone who calls these script kiddies hackers.
I think hackers is one of those Hollywood terms that has just been ruined because it's anybody who can use a computer to do something.
Ridiculous.
I was going to get to the big news, but I guess real quick, Yakuza 0 was announced.
Yeah.
Which I guess doesn't really excite a lot of people because the last Yakuza game to make it over here was, what, 3?
4.
4.
Yeah. So we already missed. This would be the third game we would have missed.
Yes, I don't know if a lot of people are in any.
Yeah, lots of people already made Vision 0, as in Zero Shin's coming over, right?
Yeah. So, there's that. So the big news of the week, or of the week that we missed, was that Amazon purchased Twitch,
yeah.
Which was really surprising to me, because it went from YouTube being a Google being a sure thing. I mean, that was all locked and noted, and everybody was reporting on it. To the rumors that Amazon would do it, to that being true in less than 24 hours.
Yep.
I'm
not as baffled by it as you are.
Okay. I guess before you explain, the reason I'm baffled by it is I don't see where it fits into Amazon's grand design. Like, I don't see what it adds.
Does it have to? I mean, the thing is, Amazon wants to get into gaming. Twitch at this point is a big part of gaming. So the purchase in that sense alone makes sense. Also, it's a big streaming platform, a live streaming platform, which Amazon doesn't have. So what they can do, of course, is keep Twitch as is, but they could also maybe think about expanding Twitch or maybe doing like a Twitch offshoot, which, I mean, Justin TV technically was, but wasn't successful for Twitch itself. But Amazon, of course, always could feel like, hey, maybe we could do stream like live events or whatever. So for me, it makes total sense.
I guess that works. I guess my thinking was that they already have a streaming service, so if they want to
stream... A streaming service, but on a live streaming service.
Well, I was about to say, I mean, they could turn it into a live streaming service if they wanted to, but I guess it's easier to buy somebody who has the infrastructure already.
Yeah. That's what usually is the case.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. I don't imagine we'll have any major sweeping changes for Twitch on that.
No, especially not from Amazon. It probably was better for Amazon to buy them than Google.
Well, I think what happened ultimately is that Google realized that it was more of a liability for them to own it than anything because of the... I think that was the reason. It's like they didn't know how much they would have to pay in antitrust laws.
Yeah. And Amazon, apparently, I heard, like, they bought some other companies I haven't even heard of before, and they basically let them operate however they wanted. So it's probably not bad for Twitch. At least at this point. I wouldn't be too pessimistic about this.
I'm not pessimistic at it at all. I'm just really, I'm thinking of it more from, like, what is Amazon saying at? Because, I mean, we, you know, the rumor was they wanted to get into game and they wanted to get it. And then we got Amazon Fire TV, which is like, yeah, we kind of want to get into gaming, but we don't want to date gaming exclusively right now. So, I mean, it's a possibility. We shall see. We shall see. I love Amazon as a company. They're one of my favorite because they, I mean, even as they've gotten bigger, they've always seemed to be a very fair and balanced company for the consumer. And they've never really, like you said, they've never really bought a company and gutted them or made them change their ways or even jacked up the price of anything. I think almost everything they offer is a fair, reasonable price. Yeah. And they always seem to have the consumer's best interests in mind. And from what I understand, they really just kind of skate by on the thinnest of profits. Like, they make a ton of profits, but it's like everything they sell is just above market.
Yeah. But the volume is what makes up for it.
Yeah.
I would assume.
Yeah. I mean, it went from, I remember ages ago, I used to hate online shop, and I'm sure most people did, because you always heard about those scams or people being ripped off.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, can I Amazon this? I already go to a brick-and-mortar store just to compare, just to kind of get a price I can compare it to Amazon and buy it from them.
Yeah. Usually, here in Germany, the Amazon prices are basically always better than my brick-and-mortar stores.
Oh, yeah, they usually are, which is why out of brick-and-mortar stores started, like, Best Buy started to, before they wouldn't price match Amazon, but now they start to do that because they realize, like, what people would do. And your phones can do this as well. It's like you can go into a store, you can check on the barcode, and you can literally just get a listing of the comparison prices, and it wouldn't top it. So now they have to compete.
I have a funny thing to say about that, because some stores here wouldn't do that. Or say, like, yeah, but on Amazon you have to pay for shipping. And then it was like, no, if I pay more than €20, I don't have to pay for anything. And I have it here tomorrow anyway, so if you don't give me a better price, I just go to Amazon. I don't care.
That's the one, I mean, I guess not a problem, but they did jack it up recently for us. It used to be $25 and now.
Yeah, they just changed it here as well. $29.
Yeah.
So, but still, if you're buying video games, the chance that you're over 29 is pretty high.
Yeah, I was also going to say, that personally doesn't concern me. I've been an Amazon Prime customer for 5-6 years now.
That as well.
Amazon Prime usually pays for itself on Black Friday for me. Because I will sit here and just kind of like, oh, this is $10, this is $10. And I'll end up like, oh, shipping-wise, that pays for itself within a week or so. And then you get video game deals throughout the year or whatever. But yeah, Amazon, very much just giving a free show to Amazon. It's amazing customer service today.
Yeah, I have Prime as well. And I even get it for cheaper because of the student thing.
Yeah.
I actually wonder if they ever will ask me if I'm still a student, because
I think they started cracking down on that recently with us, but you can also create fake student accounts.
I mean, I would probably pay for the whole thing. That's not the issue. It's just that soon I'm no longer a student, and so far they never asked me if I am still one, so I'm wondering.
Yeah, I think what they started to do here, is that I think you don't have access to certain stuff as a student. Like, I don't think you get Prime Video.
I have everything.
Okay, so maybe that's over here. I could be wrong, though. Anyhow, this is a tangent at this point, I guess.
Yeah.
I think that's it for the news. This won't matter to any of you folks as this goes up on Monday. Actually, it might go up Tuesday because Monday's a holiday for us. But the PAX Rumble 2 is coming up this weekend. Really excited for that. Though I'm kind of disappointed. I don't think they did promos this time around.
What? I'm sorry. I was...
I was saying the PAX Rumble 2 is this weekend.
Oh, yeah, right. Yep. Yeah. On Sunday.
Yeah, but that wouldn't matter because this is already out. But I'm really excited. If you hadn't checked it out, you probably should check out the first one. And the second one should be up by the time this goes up. It's just
watch the Giant Bomb PAX panel from before, because it has some amazing promos and stuff that link into that Rumble.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think this one has promos. I could be wrong, though. I haven't
seen it. I have seen a Dr. Tracksuit promo, and then Riker promo. And I would assume that maybe on Saturday they will do something on the panel again.
I would assume Navarro has one as well, because he's the reigning defending champion, right?
I have not seen one from him, but maybe I just have not looked well enough.
We'll see. But, yeah. So check that out. Check out Mario Kart, fancy new DLC, really fun to play. Check out all the free games you'll be getting on Xbox One, Xbox 360, PS4, and PS3 if you have Gold or if you have PSN Plus.
There's some good stuff coming in September.
For one of those consoles. I am not keen on Microsoft's offering.
Oh, okay. I haven't really checked what Microsoft is offering, but it's pretty good.
I think for us, it's... Well, I mean, Microsoft does it. Joby is the same game.
Yep.
But I believe it's Halo Reach.
Which is a good game.
But I just find it weird that they always... Like, they did Halo 3 as well, and I'm like, yeah, if you're going to do this, like, Duke, that's our game. Like, I want these big quality games, but probably not, like, the third best-selling game on your platform, because the chances are most people already have that.
That's true.
And Monaco, what's yours is mine. And then
Monaco looks really neat. I haven't tried myself, but it looks really cool.
And then Sony, I think this is the first time that they're actually doing the same games across the globe, right?
It's that happened before.
Okay, but it's Velocity 2X, it's Sports Friends, it's PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, which I'm so pissed about, because I already said I wasn't going to buy that game because I knew it was going to be a PlayStation Plus game, and after a year of waiting and then not doing it, I bought it for $5. Granted, it's $5, it's not going to break the bank, and now they do it for free. I mean, on the bright side, I still haven't opened my actual copy of the game, so...
So you can sell it!
And I get this for free, yes. Joe Danger and TXK.
Yeah, and I think, like, except for the PS3 offering, maybe I like PlayStation All-Stars, but a lot of people didn't, or at least like to shit about it. I don't know if they even played it.
The beta.
Let's just say it like this. The PS3 stuff is kind of like lackluster, PlayStation All-Stars, and Horde is kind of terrible, I think. But the PS4 and Vita offering is really good. The Velocity 2X looks like it will probably be a fantastic game. What was the second one again?
It's Sports Friends.
Sports Friends is amazing. I mean, it's local-only multiplayer, but it's super fun. Actually, I have not bought it yet myself, so this is great for me. And on the Vita... TXK is really good, and the Joe Danger for Vita is, I think, a compilation of the first two games that came out separately, and both were also really good.
Yeah, okay. We'll be back next week with our fun-filled gaming discussion. So for Martin and I, this has been Dual Worlds in episode 152. Vita Zane.